I want to invite you to turn in scripture to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, reading from verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai had said. And so after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. And when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abraham said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai ill-treated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Soar. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from? Where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." Then the angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery, and he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." And she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." And this is why the well was called Beer La Roa. It is still there between Kedesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Amen. May God bless us, the reading of his word. If the children want to leave for their program now. I first started to read this chapter a few months back. Erin and myself have both been working through a little book called the 30-Day Praise Challenge. She's doing one for parents. I'm doing just the one for the just general praise challenge. And the last part of the book gave various names for God to use during your prayer time and to aid in praise. And so verse 13 was the one that was in the little book. "He's the God who sees me." And when I read it that day, it was in amongst a number of different names for God, but that one really struck with me. And it follows on where Hagar then says, "You're the God who sees me, and I now see you." That her circumstances changed as she encountered God. And perhaps it took me back to a time many years ago at Capenry, and I may have shared this before, I'm not sure. And being in a lecture on Philippians, and it was about the whole fact that where Paul writes, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me forward. And that night, and working through that lecture that night, it took me right back to being 6 years old and my parents' marriage breaking up. And a few years later, different things happened. And as I worked through it that night, God came and said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And I had been a Christian probably about 10 years. I had gone faithfully to church every Sunday. I had gone to Bible class on a Wednesday night. I had done all the things that appeared to be Christian. I read my Bible, I prayed. But that night, something changed dramatically for me. I moved from somebody knowing about God to somebody knowing God. It was like what Hagar says here. "You're not only the God who sees me, but I now see you." Things changed dramatically. And I can positively say that life has never been the same since. And I believe that as we look at the story of Hagar tonight, we'll see that for her, life was never going to be the same again. That things were going to change that night as she encountered God. When I started to work through the passage then, there was two questions that are asked. And it's this point that the angel of the Lord meets with Hagar. And as he meets with her, he addresses her by name. He says, "Hagar, slave of Sarah, where are you going to? Where have you come from?" That should be the other way around. Where have you come from? Where are you going to? And it's as if in that moment, Hagar stands in this spot between these two questions. Where have you come from? Where are you going to? And in Scripture, when God asks a question, he's not really looking for an answer because he knows the answer. But he wants people to stop and to think about where they are in their life. At different times throughout Scripture, right back from Genesis, when he first comes to the garden and he asks, "Where are you?" when he's looking for Adam and Eve. To Elijah, when Elijah has run away and he says, "What are you doing here?" He knew the answers, but he wanted those that he asked questions of to think through. And so for Hagar that morning, he's wanting her to say, "Where have you come from?" And as she looks back from where she has come from, we see that she comes from being an Egyptian slave. It was probably two or three chapters early in the story when she would have been taken into slavery. When Abraham and Sarah, do you remember that Sarah was very beautiful, and Abraham lets on that she's his sister, so nothing happens to him. But Pharaoh takes her into his house, and then all sorts of things begin to happen, and Pharaoh realizes what's been done. And so Abraham is given slaves and animals and all, and told to leave. So Hagar may well have come into his possession at that stage. So as she looks back, she remembers that she was a slave. But the story also tells us then that Sarai had given Hagar to Abraham. He's been given a promise by God that from his own body that there will be many children, many generations. And Sarai isn't getting any younger. She thinks, this isn't going to happen for me. I'll help God along here. I'll solve the problem. I'll give Abraham, my slave. He can have a child through her, and I will take the child as being my own, and the problem will be solved. So Hagar came from being a slave to being the wife, given as the wife to Abraham. She's come from all of that. Abraham lies with her and she becomes pregnant. And very quickly she finds maybe her situation changing. And it tells us then that she despised Sarai. It doesn't tell us what she does or how that happens. It just tells us that she despised Sarai. But we know that there's a reaction from Sarai, because Sarai goes to Abraham and says, you sort this out. She is treating me really bad. You sort this out. And he's going, don't want anything to do with this. You take it on board. You deal with it. And Sarai decides that she will deal with her. We're not told what she does. We're just told that she's treated Hagar really harshly, to such an extent that Hagar runs away. She's come from being a slave to being a wife to thinking that she was above Sarai to maybe taunting Sarai. I've been able to have a child, you haven't. Abraham, I can have him any time I want, you can't. You can't fulfill your husband's needs, I can. But Sarai's having none of it. And then we find that Hagar runs away. And so she's at this point in her life when the angel of the Lord comes. Where have you come from? Where are you going? Stop and think. And maybe that's a good place for us to stop and think tonight, first of all. Where have we come from? What has your life been like up until now? What has your spiritual journey been like up until now? Do you ever actually stop to think about it? To think where God has brought you from? If I think of the practical side, as I shared at the start, I can think of back of different events along the way, of being part of a family, and then a family breakdown, and then to living with my grandmother, then going into a one-parent home, then going back to my grandmother, and eventually then setting up home on my by myself. Mostly in around Belfast, and then coming to the great metropolis of Ballymena. A practical journey. If I look at it spiritually, I can look back on years where, as children, we didn't go to church, didn't grow up in church until I was 18 and went to live back with my grandmother, and then went on a regular basis. Came to faith in my early 20s. Went off to Bible school at about 31, 32. Encountered God, things changed dramatically. Ended up working in a church, which I never imagined would ever have happened. Stand at the point and say, that's where I've come from. Where am I going to? Who am I trusting for my future? Who am I walking with? Who am I relying on? Who am I trusting in? Hagar stood at that point in her life. And God said, you know something for your future? I want you to go back. I want you to go back, and I want you to submit yourself to Sarai. And what I found amazing in the passage was there's no objection from Hagar. She doesn't say, look, I can't go back. You don't know how that woman treated me, the things that she said, the things that she did. There's none of that. The angel says, you've got to go back. And you've got to submit. And the angel's basically saying to her, you know something? You have to go back and you have to submit because you've got to change your attitude. You've got to humble yourself before Sarah. How painful must that have been for her to be told, go back? How painful and awkward must it have been for her to go, not only to go back, but to humble herself to Sarah, to go back into service as a slave to Sarah. The angel says, I want you to go back, and I want you to submit. You've got to go back. But not only does he tell her that, I want you to go back, but in asking her to go back, he tells her, I've got a promise for you. And the promise is that, yes, you're going to have a child. And that child, you're going to name him Ishmael, which means the God who hears me. And you're going to go back and you're going to have that child. And he's going to be the cutest wee kid. He's going to have the most beautiful eyes. And he's going to be the best wee child out. And that's not what he says. He says, you're going to have a child. And he's going to be like a wild donkey. And he's going to argue with everybody. And he's going to fight with everybody. And everybody's going to fight and argue with him. Now, I don't know about you that have children. If at the start when you were told you were pregnant and somebody told you that's what your child was going to be like, I wonder what your reaction would be. But there's no reaction from Hagar. She hears what the angel is saying. She's just so pleased that from what he is saying, her child will not be in slavery. Her child will not be like her, bound in slavery. But in many ways will be free, but in a different way. And she accepts what the angel is saying. And she comes back to this whole thing when she says, you know, you are the God who sees me and I see you. Let me ask you some questions tonight. Where have you come from? Honestly, in searching yourself, where have you come from? Do you come from a background of not knowing God at all? At this point in your life, is that still where you are? Do you come from a point where you wear a mask when you walk in here Sunday after Sunday? That nobody else really knows you or the hurt and the pain that you come from. But the mask never slips. It stays there. What would you say if tonight, that just as you listen to God, he speaks to you saying, I know your name. I know exactly who you are. I know exactly where you have come from. I know exactly what I have planned for your future. I just want you to listen to me and to be obedient to me. Hagar, Sarah's slave, I know where you are. I know where you've been, and I know where I'm taking you to. I know what your future will be. Hagar moved from probably hearing about God in and around Abraham and them. to encountering the living God. She didn't go looking for him. He came looking for her. And he moved her forward in ways that she didn't expect. I wonder tonight, will we allow God to move us forward? To maybe tonight just to say, you know something, Lord? I've been running for so long, and I'm tired running. I long just to be able to stop. To stop running and to be still. I long just to stop long enough to know that you care about me, that you know me, that you love me. And I want this day to be different. I want my relationship with you to be different. I want to really know you and see you. Lord, will you speak to me? Will you let me hear you? Will we have the confidence to trust him? Will we have the confidence to allow him to have total and utter control of every aspect of our lives? To take the brokenness that's within some of us and allow him to bring healing? Will we stop running? Will we take the mask off? Will we stop long enough? To allow him to be Lord. You're the God who sees me. You're the God who hears me. You're the God who knows where I've come from. And you're the God who knows where I'm going. Praise be the name of the Lord.